you control your tongue? I know I have trouble with it sometimes. That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hello, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. We got a great show for you. We're currently in a series through the New Testament book of James. There's lots of little bits of James that have been misunderstood over the years, but there are huge amounts to be gained by studying through it. And that's why Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are discussing their way through verse by verse. I'll be back at the end of the program to tell you how to get your hands on some free resources that we offer to our listeners. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar with Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are going through the Epistle of James. If you haven't followed the previous episodes, go to our website, faithalone.org. Go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, or go to Stitcher. And if you want to go into this book more in depth, we have a great commentary by Zane Hodges called The Epistle of James, Proven Character Through Testing. It's available through our website. We also have the shorter version of that commentary available for free at our website, faithalone.org/ebooks. And you can get that for absolutely free. Well, we are in James chapter 3. And just to recall, we're reading James as a piece of Christian wisdom literature. That is not at all controversial. Lots and lots of commentaries from lots and lots of different people all agree that James is definitely wisdom literature. You should read it alongside a book like the book of Proverbs. You know, it's not an evangelistic tract. It's written to believers so that when they go through trials, so that when they go through testing, their faith will become mature. Well, we said in verse 119 that James sets out the theme for the structure of the whole epistle.
Right. Let every man be quick to hear. That's chapter 121 to 226. Slow to speak. That's what we're going to look at or start looking at today, chapter 3, and then slow to wrath. So quick, slow, slow. Quick to hear, that is to respond to what God says. Slow to speak, because as we're going to see, the tongue can be very destructive.
Right.
And slow to wrath, because the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God.
So let's see if this fits. So in chapter 3, James starts talking about the tongue. All right, he says this: "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Now, what part of the body do teachers use the most?
Yeah, the tongue.
The tongue, right?
By the way, we're doing it right now, and this is one of the most convicting verses regarding preaching or teaching in the entire Bible, because this is looking at the judgment seat of Christ when every Christian will be evaluated. And what it's saying is that the judgment seat of Christ, those who have a special role of teaching in the local church are going to have a stricter judgment, and the reason is because they use their tongue more. And
right.
What James is saying is we're held accountable for what we say. I read a comment by Chuck Swindoll recently, and he's an elder statesman now. I think he's 84. And Chuck was saying that a lot of preachers like to preach their own biases, their own personal convictions, but they get away from the scriptures and preach things they think are so, but not because they can stand on "thus saith the Lord."
Right.
And he said we need to stick to what the Bible says. And that's exactly right. And this verse holds me in check there, because we're going to have a stricter judgment. Now, he was thinking, of course, in the early church, they had elders in the local churches that would do the teaching, and they had the formal role of teaching in the local churches.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing applies today to people who teach in seminaries, Bible colleges, people who are on the radio, podcasts,
right,
pastors, teachers.
And I think part of the stricter judgment comes in because whereas other actions really affect only yourself, teaching explicitly affects someone else.
If you teach correctly, you have a multiplier effect on all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you teach incorrectly, you have a negative multiplier effect. Look at the book of Galatians. Paul says, "Who has bewitched you?"
Right.
These Galatians were misleading these people. They were almost mystifying them with their false teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole New Testament is filled with warnings about false. The Old Testament, too. Jeremiah. I've recently been reading Jeremiah. He says, "Don't listen to your prophets," because they
right.
had all kinds of false prophets in Israel.
That's right. So in verse 2, he says, "For we all stumble in many ways." By the way, that's another verse I like to point out, saying that there's no way that James believes in eternal salvation by works. He's too realistic about how often we sin.
Right.
So we all stumble in many ways. "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body."
Right. So the basic point is the tongue is the source of lots and lots of sin and error in our lives.
I mean, if you could control your tongue, you could probably control everything else too.
Where he's headed is, it's going to be the Spirit of God that controls our tongue, or else we're in trouble.
Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. So he's using these comparisons of these relatively small things moving relatively large
things. A little bit in the horse's mouth, and the horse weighs 1,500, 2,000 pounds.
And it's all muscle.
And a little,
super powerful, and just this little thing.
Little thing, less than a pound in their mouth. And the same thing with a rudder on a ship.
Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder whenever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles.
Right, and it's interesting because he's about to say the tongue is set on fire by hell, ultimately.
Right. And the tongue is a fire, verse 6, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by... Does it say hell exactly?
Actually, it says Gehenna in the Greek.
Right.
If I remember correctly, it's the only use of Gehenna outside the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not clear if Gehenna refers to Sheol, Hades, or if Gehenna refers to a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem where garbage was burned.
Right.
But either way, it's saying...
It's not good.
It's a bad thing.
It's not a good thing. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Again, that speaks to total depravity. If you think you're going to be saved by how good you are, you got to realize you can't even tame your tongue.
We always need to recognize there's danger in the tongue.
Right. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, basically made in the image of God.
What he's saying here is pretty powerful. Do you see that? We bless God, and then we curse the people who were made by God. That doesn't fit.
No.
We should be blessing God and blessing those whom God has created.
Right.
So we should be a fountain of blessing, and our tongue should be a fountain of blessing.
Right.
It's hard to learn this lesson. We can read James 3 over and over again, and God, the Holy Spirit, needs to take it and impress it upon us. Remember in Proverbs, before the fool says anything, he appears to be wise.
Right, absolutely.
As soon as he opens his mouth, you know,
right,
he's
absolutely
a nincompoop.
Absolutely. And a lot of people are listening to this in their cars, possibly in traffic.
Yes.
And I wonder if this chapter is going to hit home for you. Your mouth is liable to curse people made in the image of God. Does that ever happen to you, Bob, when you're driving?
Well, I hate to say it, but I do not always respond well. For some reason, driving brings out the worst in me.
Yeah.
I've gotten better over time, but here in Texas, I'll be driving in the number 2 or number 3 lane, and people will come up, let's say the speed limit is 60, and they'll be coming at 90.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere for me to go. I got hit from behind about 4 years ago, so I start my heart racing, and at the last second, they veer into another lane. Why do they have to do this to me?
Right, right.
I would rather they not.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of these Christians will have their Christian music playing, and they're praising God in one hand, and then, bonk, 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 get out of the way!
Yeah.
And all kinds of interesting things will come out of their mouths at that moment. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Again, as Christians, we should be unspotted from the world. We should be progressing in holiness. We believe absolutely that we're saved by grace, by faith, apart from works. Your works have nothing to do with your eternal salvation. That only comes by believing in Jesus, simply believing in him. He does all the work. He just gives you eternal salvation as a gift. But that doesn't mean now that we get to live however we want and just live sinful lives as if God doesn't care anymore. No, we should live holy lives.
And if we don't, there will be consequences. Consequences,
right,
in terms of God's judgment in this life. Consequences, as we saw in 3:1, at the judgment seat of Christ. If we misuse our tongue. And by the way, this blessing and cursing that you find here, of course, that's a theme all through the Old Testament. But if we want God to bless us, then we need to use our tongue as a blessing.
Right.
And I was recently teaching Romans chapter 12, and Romans 12 ends with, leave room for vengeance, because God is the one who will bring vengeance if we don't seek our own vengeance. When we curse someone else, we've tried to be the source of vengeance.
Right.
Leave it to God. Don't curse them. In fact, in Romans 12, it says, when your enemy curses you, be a blessing to him.
I was thinking back to chapter 2, verses 8, where James is warning Christians about favoring the rich over the poor because that shows a lack of love for that person. I think it's pretty obvious that also cursing people with your tongue also breaks that same law. It also shows a lack of love for that person.
That's right.
The person you're cursing is a person that God has created in his image, that God loves, that Jesus has died for, and that God desperately wants to give eternal life to.
That's a mature worldview. If we look at life that way, then we're not looking at the person as though we're saying, this person has nothing to do with creation. This person has nothing to do with God. This is just a jerk that I need to curse.
Right.
No, this is somebody, part of God's creation, either a believer that's out of line or an unbeliever that's really got some issues, but we should have compassion on that person.
Right.
And it takes maturity to get to that point. And so that's what we should be praying, is that God gives us the right mindset for the use of our tongue.
Mm-hmm. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Now, some people will say that means a truly born-again person can never speak wrongly with their tongue.
No, that's not the point, because James is obviously saying in everything we've said up to here that we can use the tongue wrongly. We can bless God and curse man, and that does happen with believers. What he's saying here is, notice how the water won't come out of the same source, and you're not going to get figs coming off of a grapevine, but you can get grapes coming out of something, and you can, out of the human being, get both blessing and cursing. The blessing comes from the source, which is the Holy Spirit. The cursing comes from the source, which is called in Scripture the flesh, or he says here, Gehenna. It's set on fire by Gehenna. And so the point is, we have the opportunity to bless God if we allow the Spirit of God to tame our tongues. But we cannot do it ourselves. We need the Spirit of God to do that, and then we'll be a blessing in the way we use our tongues.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion. What a reminder for those of us who are very verbal that we need to control our tongues. It's a good practice. Well, maybe you'd like to go deeper on the book of James. We've got something for you, and guess what? It's free. We love giving stuff away for free. This time it's an ebook. It's called The Epistles of James, a shorter commentary by Zane Hodges. To get it, all you have to do is go to faithalone.org/ebooks. You can download it right there, faithalone.org/ebooks. While you're on our website, you might as well take a look at some of our other free resources. We've got a beautifully laid out print color magazine that you can get a free subscription to. We've got podcasts, videos, free ebooks, blog posts, Bible study materials. We even have a bookstore and a theological journal. I'm convinced you really need to come spend some time on our website, faithalone.org. If you'd like to become a financial partner, we would really appreciate that as well. You can find out how to do that on our website. You might have questions or comments for Dr. Bob or Sean. If that's the case, I hope you'll email us. Radio@faithalone.org is our email address. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to continue in this series as we gain great wisdom from the New Testament book of James. Tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.